unto Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received of the word, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now there are three things in this chapter that I would like to notice with you. First of all, the gospel came to Thessalonica. Secondly, they were looking for the Son from heaven. Thirdly, wrath was coming to a Christ-rejecting world. So I'd like to notice with you, first of all, the coming of the gospel, and then the coming of the Son, and then the coming of wrath. One night I was standing on the shore, the night was dark, and the waters were dark, and it was dark within my soul. Very early in the morning, before anyone was up, and then I looked toward the east, and I saw the morning star. And I knew that morning was near. But then I looked toward the west, and I noticed heaven's sword and thunder, and I knew a storm was approaching. And then suddenly I noticed a light in a window, and another. And I knew that I had a home. And those lights suggested life, fellowship, shelter, joy. Oh, many things came to my mind as the light from home shone upon the dark waters. Now, I want to suggest that we have in this chapter that setting. We have the darkness of a night. Dark the night of sin has settled. Loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing, waiting for the lights along the shore. This world is in darkness. Thessalonica was in darkness. But then, there's light in the darkness. the gospel came to Thessalonica. And in the darkness of that night, there was hope. And that's why Paul speaks of this church as being in God the Father. The family idea we have all through Scripture. The church is no organization, it's a family. Brethren. And the Lord Jesus, the firstborn among many brethren. And where He's going to take us is to the Father's house. But the children now enjoy heavenly light. And the light that they enjoy brings cheer to those outside. For not only did the gospel come to Thessalonica, but from them it went out. But a storm is coming. Wrath is coming. Jesus is coming. That's the hope for the church. Comfort of all my earthly ways. Jesus, I'll meet thee some sweet day. I don't know why they left that out when they sang it. That's the favorite verse of that favorite song of mine. I'm going to meet thee someday, wonderful man of Calvary. I can still hear Brother Ironside singing that. He was a good song leader as well as a good preacher. And that was one of his favorite songs. And the other one was "A Little While and He'll Come." But wrath is coming for this world. But the Son of God is coming for His own before wrath comes. Now Paul tells how the gospel came to Thessalonica. But Dr. Luke also tells about it. He tells us that there were 3 weeks' meetings in Thessalonica. There was the darkness of idolatry. There was the darkness of Judaism. There was the darkness that had settled upon that city. And I would like to suggest that this entire world is in darkness. Darkness means ignorance. And they're ignorant of God. They can dig down in the earth and find a few cracked bones and try to discover the origin of things. But there's no light outside of the Word of God. There's no wisdom outside the source of all wisdom, our Lord Jesus Christ. And however men may struggle in the darkness, they're still in the darkness until the gospel comes and brings light. There's no light except the light of heaven. And so when Paul and his companions came to Thessalonica, they took the book. The old
It's on here, the fact of it. It's an altar, Jack. It's where Jesus was held to go. You know, Tom. And the last room in the very aim of all the altar of Jesus must be able to. I know this must stand by you. First, I'll send the value of the runner. I hope you know, Well, you touch the command of the family, you hold the command of the fortune. And that's called them. That was out there, Jesus is down there, Tom. There's your end, hogging in the head, there's no use for me. Hogging his head, it is as full of it. Hogging the room without the door, we'll do it, we'll die here. I shouldn't have had known that. Well, now he's down to lose there. Who's against the divorce? Oh, it's not the IS.
For the simple reason, they haven't the capacity to take in divine truth. So Paul says these words were accompanied with power. And thank God for the power that's resident in the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And it doesn't take a keen intellect, it takes the power of the Holy Spirit of God to make the gospel bear fruit. And there's no divine conversion without divine conviction. And so the gospel came not only in words, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. I like that. What is the Holy Spirit of God in this world for? To win Rebekahs for Isaac. To win souls for Christ. And it's the Holy Ghost that makes the Word of God, the gospel, effective in the heart. And thank God, though he is the most neglected person in the world, he's here. And he's leading the bride to the bridegroom. But he says something else, much assurance. As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now when there's a little difference, I usually take both. Much assurance means they were sure of the message they bought, but it also means that when the gospel comes, it comes with full assurance. It's a grand thing to be saved. And it's a grand thing to know with full assurance that you can never be lost. Now the second thing we have here is that although these folks were saved, and in the world, here was the family of God. And here was a lighthouse in the darkness. They didn't belong to that world out of which they were saved. Paul said, you know, when you got saved, you were purchased. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He gave himself for you, and he's going to have you with himself one day. That's why he saved you. And so, these Thessalonian believers were looking for the Lord to come in their day, and don't let anyone tell you that Paul made a mistake. The coming of the Lord in Scripture is always for the present generation, always. The virgins who heard the proclamation went in. The servants to whom he gave the talents went in. It's always for the present dispensation. Now there's some theologians here. Am I right or wrong? It's never put off for a future generation. Not the hope of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The morning star has ever been the hope of God's beloved people since Christ went to heaven. I will come and receive you unto myself was true in that day and true in this day. Comfort of all my earthly ways. But you know, when I read this verse, something comes to mind. I like this. To wait for his Son from heaven. That's what they were saved for. You know, sometimes, a little early now, my wife goes and buys a present for me for Christmas. She doesn't want me to know what it is, so it's kept till called for. And we're kept till called for. And he's going to call for us someday. Amen. Kept till called for. And all we can do is wait until we get the call. I wouldn't mind going to heaven now, but I got to wait for the call. And when he calls, don't think I'm going to take some side trips. We'll see him and be with him evermore. But you know, in Scripture we have him coming as Lord to reward his servants. We have him coming as Savior. As we heard, he's going to make these bodies vile, give them a fashion like his own. He's coming as Christ, the head of the church, and it'll be complete then. And he's coming in various ways, but I like this. He's coming as the Son from the Father's house. To wait for his Son from heaven. What's associated with that? Resurrection. Whom he raised from the dead. That reminds me of a story in the Old Testament which I like. I referred to it, but you may have forgotten. Here's a father, and he has a son. A son he loves, but he loved God better. Abraham, I want you to give me your son. Lay him on the altar. And Isaac was the son of his father's sorrow. Can you imagine the grief in that father's heart as he lifts that knife, looks for a vital spot to plunge it into the bosom of his son? But that hand was stayed. And Abraham receives his son to his bosom and to his home. And you know what it tells us? Abraham made Isaac heir of all that he possessed. But things don't satisfy. And that father purposes for the joy of his son. And that work is carried out by the servant. He says, Isaac, my son, as raised from the dead, will have a bride to share all his wealth as the object of his love. And he calls his servant. And he says, go and get jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and go into the wardrobe and get garments. My wife feels downhearted a little bit. I tell her, go and buy a dress when she's up in the Cloud nine again. Any girl likes a dress. And here, go in the wardrobe and get these garments. And it's a long journey, camels, and their enemies, men. And I have a little book home, I like it. A little too difficult for me to preach, but in all of these things we have a picture of the Spirit of God. The riches of glory He displays to us. The power to bring Rebecca came from the home. Everything was supplied. All Rebecca had to say was, "I'll go." You said that, didn't you? "I'll go." The servant met her at the well. And then there was the journey to the home. But once more, the son leaves the home. What was Rebecca waiting for? The son from the home. And so the son who went from the home to the altar goes from the home to the meeting place. And the servant presents Rebecca to Isaac. One day the Holy Spirit of God, His work complete, is going to present the bride to the bridegroom. And He's going to present us to the Father. And the Father will give us away. And the Son will carry us over the threshold, and we'll be happy ever after. Why don't you say hallelujah? Wait for His Son from heaven. From heaven. Wait. Wait. Do you know that waiting tests affection? It does. It does. You'll find down through Scripture that they couldn't wait. Abraham couldn't wait. Saul couldn't wait. Oh, for the patience. The patience of Christ. He's waiting, and we are waiting. I had a good friend, Brother, not Nixon, but Dixon. Any of you know Brother Dixon? Well, he had a family, and one day he said to them, "I'm going to preach in a certain place, one train a day each way, and I may come home Monday. I may not. I may come home Tuesday, but they have a prayer meeting on Tuesday. They may ask me to stay. Then perhaps I'll come home on Wednesday, but I may visit some folks, and then I'll stay till Thursday. And they have a Bible reading on Thursday, they may ask me for the Thursday meeting, I don't know. I may come home on Monday, I may wait till Thursday or Friday, but I must come home Saturday because I'm going to preach in our own gospel hall on the following Sunday." But, he said to his children, "I want you to meet me." So Monday, there they were, but he didn't come. Tuesday, there they were, but he didn't come. Wednesday he didn't come. Well, he'll come Thursday. But no, he didn't come Thursday. Well, then he'll come tomorrow. No, he didn't come Friday. Well, he has to come Saturday. Sure he has to. It was the last day. And there they were. And they saw him. And you know, preachers who have children, they always have something in their bag. And it's like the judgment seat of Christ. If you've been naughty, well, you don't get a present. But if you've been good, then you get it. You don't punish them. I don't believe in any punishment at the judgment seat of Christ. Daddy, if a woman left it for the punishment of the child till the daddy came home, I don't know. That's out altogether. But you can give and lose. They lost a reward or gained one. Now you can quarrel with me after that. But I like to have you right, and I love you just saying. So, here they were. You know what they said to them? "Listen, we were there Monday and all week, and you didn't come till now." "No," he said, "I didn't tell you when I was coming, but let me say something. Didn't I keep you clean all week, though?" "I kept you clean all week." "Sure." "Huh?" Well, before I get to this dark side, we've had the coming of the gospel, right? The coming of the Son. We're waiting for Him. I want to read, I found this in my Bible. It was put out by the Laza brothers when I was a boy. Never was a girl. The morning star. I woke and the night was passing, and over the hills there shone a star all alone in its beauty when the other stars were gone. For a glory was filling the heavens that came before the day, and the gloom and the stars together faded and passed away. Only the star of the morning glowed in the crimson sky. It was like a clear voice singing, "Rejoice, for the sun is nigh." O children, a star is shining into the hearts of men. It is Christ with a voice of singing, "Rejoice, for I come again." For the long, long night is passing, and there cometh the golden day. I come to mine own who love me to take them all away. That's not partial rapture. E-double-L, all away. It may be today or tomorrow, soon it will surely be. Then past are the tears and the sorrow, then home forever with me. Hallelujah. Home forever with me. I'm glad I left only 7 minutes for my last. I don't like this. The gospel came. The sun is coming. But wrath is coming. Wrath is coming. We're going to be caught up with the bridegroom, and we're coming back with the king, and between the two, wrath. There are three ways in which people suffer for their sins. One, you reap a harvest whenever you sin. You read the papers and you'll discover that you can't escape. Not even with a pill. Not even with science. God says, if you sin, what? Whatsoever you sow, you reap. You can't escape it. You can't escape it. There's a second way. When you sin, you serve a master. And he pays good wages, doesn't he? Isn't it lovely to serve the devil? Have any of you ever served the devil? You did, didn't you? What did he pay you?
Wicked master.
Isn't he a wicked master? You wouldn't advise anyone to serve him, would you? Wouldn't you advise anybody here that is still his servant to go on strike?
No, sir.
Oh, that's right. That's much better. There's a third way. Because not only do we reap a harvest from the seed we sow, not only do we serve a master and he pays wages, but you were created to glorify God. And the wrath of God rests upon this entire world. And it's only the pierced hand that keeps the flood from coming. Now from chapter 6 to chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, we have those three things. You read the seals, and what do we have? We have creation protesting against the monster who dragged it into ruin. The seeds that were sown, you're getting some of the harvest now. Water defiled, air defiled, nature in protest. And what you have in the seals, you can see it today. Conquest, civil war, famine, pestilence, martyrdom. The wrath that comes from the sowing of a seed of sin. Secondly, we have in the trumpets, hell let loose, and Satan furious, because his time is short. But finally, in the vials, we have the wrath of God. And when the last one is poured out, we have these words, "It is done." Thank God I heard those words from Calvary. And I'm not going to be here when those words are uttered again. God must punish this, either in the substitute or in the sinner. O earth, what sorrows lie before thee? Unlike it in the ages past, the sharpest throes that ever tore thee, even though the briefest and the last. My hopes are passing upward, onward, and with my hopes my heart has gone. My eyes are turning skyward, upward, where glory brightens round the throne. I see the last dark, bloody sunset. I see the dread avengers form. I hear the Armageddon onset. Can't even read my own writing. But I shall be above the storm. There comes a moaning and a sighing. There comes the death clog's heavy fall. A thousand agonies of dying. But I shall be above them all. For my hopes are associated with the Son who delivered me from the wrath to come. My hopes are passing upward, onward. And with my hope, my heart has gone. That man at Calvary has won the heart for me. My eyes are turning skyward, sunward, where glory brightens round yon throne. And one day the Father will say, Son, take her home. That's what he's waiting for. And when we all get to heaven, we'll sing and shout the victory, but we'll begin that song right now. Huh?
That's not the song I got.
I don't care. Oh, happy day, all right.
Number 78.
I'll put this around here.